Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's Thursday, the 30th of January. Coming to the end of the month, next week will be February, of course. But because it's Thursday, the 30th of January, do you know what that means? That means there's only one day left. Not till the weekend. Well, there is that, yes. But there's one day left to claim 50% off.
How much?
50, yeah.
You're kidding.
No. 50% off the Share Pickers Investment Club. All you need to do is go to sharepickers.com, click on the book at the top of the page there, and then follow the instructions. But if you buy the book and you like it enough to give it a 5-star rating and review, then you can get 50% off the Share Pickers Investment Club. That works out to £1.90 a week. Yes, I know. But it will end midnight at the Oasis. Friday. Okay, midnight Friday. So if you buy the book by then, you can still claim. It's still a week left for you to claim after that. But you have to have bought it by midnight Friday. Okay, let's look at the markets then. FTSE 100 up 0.5%, 8598. In fact, are we at an all-time high again? Yes, we are. All-time high. FTSE, yes. This is good. American market's rolling over. Lots of people just put their money into now S&P trackers, largely late to the party, and it's rolling over. The NASDAQ is double-topped. It's not getting above a previous high. It's all rolling over. Lots of big tech companies with results out. They better be blowing the doors off. Otherwise, it will roll over. It's ridiculous. And you find that. You find a lot of money being sucked out of the UK markets because the S&P is doing so well and the NASDAQ's doing so well. That's not going to happen. History shows when you have outperformance in a certain indices, then returns in the later years tend to be below or average. So the place to be is where, you know, things have been underperforming but looking okay, like UK markets. That's the place to be. So FTSE 100 up, all-time high there. FTSE 250 up 1%, 20,756 above a 200-day moving average. FTSE small cap up 0.3%, 6,815. It's trying to get above that 200-day moving average. Let's have a see if we've got four indices in the green. Oh, it's green on the screen. Even the AIM All shares joining in a little bit. Up 0.7%, but we're not out of the woods here. Like I said, the recent low was pretty much 7.06. It's 7.17. So it's the 50-day moving average is about 7.23. I'm saying we need to get above 7.28 to break this downtrend, but it's looking good. Let's look at commodities. Brent crude is down again. We've had five days out of six down now. We're at $76 a barrel. Gold did hit an all-time high. It is all-time high. All-time high for gold. I tell you what, I hold Ramsden's, and they do very well on the gold front. In fact, the last trading update, record profits, not just down to gold, but it's higher turnover. When there's a high gold price, people tend to rummage around, you know, in the back of the sofa, knicker drawers, all that, or pants drawers for old bits of gold they can sell, because you get good money for it and increases the footfall. So Ramsden RFX, by the way, 5% dividend, you've got to be on the register by the 14th. Is it the 12th or 14th? Maybe the 12th. But check that out. 5% dividend, share price rising. You can't fault that. When you've got a decent share price, momentum, record profits, and paying a cracking dividend, what's not to like, eh? So gold's up, all-time high of $2,820 an ounce. Copper, it's up a third of 1%. And to the ton, that would be 9,473. In fact, it's 3 days now up. but it is down from a recent high of 9,795. So we're at 9,473. What else is there? I've done copper, Brent crude. Let's have a look at Bitcoin. Yeah, Bitcoin, oddly, it didn't follow the sell-off in the US markets yesterday. Normally it does, but it hasn't. It's had a two-day bounce. This is the second day of the bounce. We're on 105,000. Now, you know, the close on Bitcoin is 106,000. If it can close above that, I understand there's no close on Bitcoin because crypto crazies go all night. But if it ticks over the next day and it's above that, that's a bullish sign in my mind. But saying that, it can be quite volatile. Okay, let's look at the government debt yield. Or the two-year bond yield. It's down again today. It's down 1.25%. That's a good sign, actually. Like I said, the recent high was 4.6%. We're now at 4.267%. And the pound will buy you €1.1951. It'll also get you $1.2435. So it's a bit of flat today, but it's trying to make gain the euro against the euro. One, two, three, four, five. It's sort of flat today, but it's been up. So it's a little bounce here. Okay, some macro news. There's loads of micro cap news today. That's why this is a bit late. I do apologise. So I'm going to try and whip through this as fast as I can. Bank of England readies rate cut and could hint at more to come. Yes. The Bank of England looks likely to cut interest rates next week. It's 6, isn't it, next week, I think it is. When it could also nudge investors to expect faster reductions than they currently predict as the economy flatlines. I've been saying this all along, haven't I? I don't like to say I told you so. But remember, when the economy is bad, it isn't necessarily bad for the markets because interest rates come down and then all those, you know, zero risk investments like bonds and all that stuff, pretty much the people who put their money in, or just even high interest bank accounts, it'll start coming down and the return on that will get less and less. And then where else can I put money? Money inflow into the markets, cost of capital goes down for companies and debt, and the markets tend to rally. So it could be a very good year at last for UK equities. Economists polled by Reuters unanimously expect the BOE to cut its benchmark rate to 4.5% from 4.75. They say 90% chance of that next week cut. Let's look at the financial markets on Wednesday priced in almost 3/4 point bank of rate cuts this year. So that will take us down to what, 4? Compared with a fewer than 2 in early January when there was a sharp but short-lived surge in British government bond yields. So there we go. Next. UK mortgage approvals rise as buyers race to beat stamp duty changes. The number of mortgages approved by the UK banking sector rose unexpectedly in December, according to new data, suggesting buyers are looking to beat upcoming changes to the stamp duty. 66,500 mortgages were approved last month, which is up from 66,100 in November. So it either suggests the consumers are proving more resilient than expected, perhaps bolstered by rising incomes and healthy household balance sheets. Or some commentators suggest that first-time buyers were looking to avoid April's stamp duty charges, which were announced in the October budget. I think it's the latter, which is quite worrying because you may see a drop-off in sales after that. But of course, if you can avoid several thousand pounds in a stamp duty charge increase, then you will. And thirdly, UK is seeking investment boost plans to reduce pension bailout levy. This is the thing. All these plans that Rachel Reeves is laying out, they're very long term, aren't they? I mean, you know, if you wanted a short term boost, you'd reduce regulation and reduce the tax burden or the cost for businesses. She did the opposite. So you may see benefit from these, you know, pie in the sky ideas like Heathrow Third Runway in 2040, but they'll be out of power by then. It'll probably be changed and overturned anyway. So where's the growth going to come from in next year or two? It doesn't seem many, you know, a lot of plans for that, does there? Anyway, Britain is considering proposals to reduce the amount that pension schemes have to pay into in an industry-wide bailout fund, the government said. Oh, that's a little bit worrying there. as it searches for new ways to free up cash from investment in the economy. So the Pension Protection Fund charges a levy on corporate schemes to build up a pot of money which can be used to protect employees from losses if individual schemes run into trouble. The government said the PPF was in a strong financial position and that it was considering ways to allow that the levy be reduced more easily. The changes could free up millions of pounds, it said, without giving a more specific figure. I'd say more than millions. It's going to be billions of pensions concerned, isn't it? But that worries me a little bit. You know, as long as you've got enough in there, as long as you've been protecting people. Okay, microcap news. Lots of news here from microcap companies. These are companies sub 100 million enterprise value. And I monitor all these to see if they can be included. Some of them will be included already on the Microcap League on my website. This is a list of the 30 best microcap companies, without doubt. So if you want to find quality microcaps, the Microcap League is where it's at, okay? And it's been proven. The top performers there outperforming the market, other peers, everything. So first and foremost, E-Energy, EAAS, the UK's leading energy as a service and lighting as a service business to education and healthcare sectors, announced a trading update for the year ended 31st December. So they've got a market cap of 18 million. Revenue, this didn't make any sense, the line in their RNS. It says revenue financial year 2023 increased by 14.4 million to circa 27.1 million in financial year 2024. What? Doesn't make any sense. So, financial year 24, revenue is expected to be 27 million. That's more than double the restated figure of 2023 of 12.7 million. Now, this has been restated to reflect the sale of the energy management business. If you strip that out, I mean, with that, the figures were 30.5 million top line down to 27.1. But of course, in 24 now, they haven't got that management energy business. So that's a good turnout there. Their almost top line is keeping up with, as it was in 23. Adjusted EBITDA for financial year 24 improved by 4 million to 400 grand compared to a restated 3.6 million annualized EBITDA loss. So it's improved there. So revenue's improved, EBITDA's improved. Of course, EBITDA is EBITDA bullshit. Pardon? Net cash at year end, excluding IFRS 16 liabilities, at 2.3 million and no debt. And last year they were having problems with debt. They had net debt of 7.3 million. That was pre-sale of an energy management business. So they're looking at, for 24, 27 million and adjusted loss before tax of half a million, basically. But they are looking to increase top line a little bit to 28 million 25, so it's not a huge amount of growth there. But they are looking to be more profitable at doing 2.6 million adjusted profit before tax up from half a million pound loss. So I'd say watch this or ignore. I'd say watch this. Accounts here, I've always found E-Energy, I used to hold this company, are always complicated with lots of adjustments. I don't like that. So I'd want to see the full year results. But they do say their order book is at 7 million, which gives confidence in the outlook for Q1 25 and the rest of the year. So it seems to be, you know, making some headway here, improving a little bit. But like I said, it's a little bit complicated with the adjustments, but I'll keep a look on that. And next, Empresaria, EMR. The Global Specialist Staffing Group provides a trading update for the year ended 31st December. So net fee income. Now, staffing, you understand, is a difficult sector. There are people being laid off. We know that. Recruiters are laying people off. The recruiters are seeing less job openings and that dropping. So it's a bit worrying. In fact, I keep going back to that boss of Indeed Recruitment who said it's been a 23% drop year on year of job opportunities, job openings, which signifies recession. It has done previously. So anyway, they say net fee income down 6%, constant currency like for like, reported figure down 12%. Reductions in net fee income across all regions bar Americas, which delivered growth of 5%. Permanent placement continues to be challenging, with net fee income reducing by 21%. They do say adjusted profit for tax expected to be at least meet current market expectations. So these are the forecasts. They're looking at 236 million top line, down from 250, and the profit for tax down to 2 million from 3.5. So I'd say ignore. It's a very challenging market there. Revenue expected to rise in 2025, but yeah, margins are going to be squeezed even more. So I'd say, you know, maybe watch it, but it's going to be a hard market, that. Flowtech Fluid Power, Flow is ticker. This is annoying. Rather than just saying what they do, they just do this flouncy sort of target quote about the company, you know? Mission statement almost, you know? Our aim is to provide our customers with power, motion and control solutions from a single component to integrated engineering systems in the most cost-effective way, harnessing the best global brands and products, services and engineers in the market. Okay. What do you actually do? Anyway, sorry, I've not been looking at the share prices of these companies. So let's look at the share prices here. So we got E-Energy, it's up 13% to 4.72 pence. Still in a downtrend, but it has broken 50-day moving average. So we'll see where that goes. Because the recent low was at 3.8, it's up to 4.2. So it was a messy chart. And so Flowtech, what else did I say there before that? Oh, EMR, isn't it? We should check that price there. Impresaria. They're down 1.5% to 26 pence, flatlining recently. Okay. Flowtech, where were they? Basically, 42 million, trading update ahead of group's results. So revenue of 107 million versus 112, down 4.3%. Profit for tax of 800K versus 4.3. So a big drop there. And net debt has increased to 15.1 million versus 14.7. So you've got top line going down, profit for tax going down, debt increasing. Nevertheless, they do see some kind of recovery, hopefully in 2025, where revenue is expected to go to 120 from 107, and profit for tax is expected to rise to 3.3 from 800K. So maybe put it on the watch list. Margins aren't big there, are they? So 5%, so 120, so 10% would be 12, 6% would be 5, so 2.5% profit for tax margins, and that's at an improved level for 2025. So it's not a particularly attractive business. I suppose it's a manufacturer, so you can't expect big margins, but maybe watch this, maybe a recovery play. Like I said, it's up, it's had a hell of a drop, actually. So it could have a recovery bounce sooner or later, but it's not the type of business I'd like to be, you know, owning. Next, Futura Medical. FUM, the consumer healthcare company behind Aroxon. Are they having a laugh? Aroxon. It specializes in the development and global commercialization of innovative and clinically proven sexual health products. So it's for men who basically can't get an erection, can't get a hard on, and they've gone with Aroxon. Anyway, today, trading update for the year ended 31st December. Now, it starts off okay. Revenue and profit for tax ahead of market expectations. In fact, where are they? Where's the market cap here? Sorry, I should put this in here. They are a market cap of 94 million. They're not today. I mean, sorry, that was before the drop. So I'm saying they're probably half that now. So let's say 50 million. You can see what the drop is like. So they say revenue is 13.7 million, up from 3.1. The company delivered a blended gross margin of 73%. Ooh, and net cash at year end was 6.6 million, down from 7.7. Now, in the outlook, the company currently anticipates product sales and royalties in financial year 25 will be approximately 50% lower than previously expected. The company now expects financial year 25 revenue will be materially below expectations. As a result, will make a loss after tax in financial year 25 against previous expectations of profitability. So they're going from, that's a huge drop. The broker, by the way, has a bit of a sense of humour. His name is Sab Jantet, the guy is, at Panmure Liberum. He entitles his broker note, Hard Going. But he does say valuation is hard to call. Until we've bottomed out forecasts, clearly these delays are far from ideal, and while they may prove to be nothing more than delays, it is hard to gauge the impact on the valuation until we've bottomed out our forecasts. As a result, we place our target price under review. So, Futura Medical, ignore. It's really disappointing there. And they are down, like I said, 45% today, which is amazing there. That's not amazing. Gusbourne PLC. Gus is ticker, the premium English sparkling wine. Sparkling wine in England? Why are you kidding? No, you've got to be having a joke. That's supposed to be French. It's pleased to report following an unaudited trading update, 12 months trading update. So market cap 23 million. Total net revenue for 24 expected to be up by 1%. Ooh. To 7.1 million versus 7.1 million. A fully adjusted EBITDA loss is expected to be around 700k unchanged on the year. Net debt at the 31st December expected to be 22.6 million. So the market cap is 23 million. And they've got net debt, so, you know, a debt on top of the cash of 22.6 million. And they're expected to make a loss in 24 of 2.1 million, in 25 of 1.3 million, in 26 a profit of 200k. Ignore if they ever get to 2026. Wow. You know, a combo of debt and loss-making, big debt, high, you know, highly indebted and loss-making, can be lethal, even fatal. Next, Inspecs. Where is Gus there today? Is Gus up or down? Gus is down 5%, pretty much close to an all-time low. Not surprising, really. Inspecs, what we're looking for are companies that are improving on all metrics, okay? And then look at the valuation, see if it's a decent valuation. Inspecs Group, ticker is SPEC. A leading designer, manufacturer, and distributor of eyewear, sunglasses, optical frames, lenses, and low vision products, today announces a trading update to the 31st of December. So, market cap 44 million, group revenue of 200.5 million, slightly down from 203.3 million, underlying EBITDA of 17.5 million, down from 18 million, net debt, excluding leases, 22.9 million versus 24.2. So that's improved a little. The other two metrics haven't. Market expectations was for revenue for 197, underlying EBITDA 17.4 to 17.9. So the question is, I couldn't get any broker notes on this, but how does underlying EBITDA translate into actual profit? Because when people say EBITDA profitability, it's not profit, you know. It's not at all. EBITDA profitability. It's like saying, you know, I'm a national lottery winner. Yes, I won £10. Well, it's not really like that. I couldn't think of an analogy. But anyway, so in the interims, underlying EBITDA was 10 million. The profit before tax was 1.3 million. So you can see the difference there. And that was versus 3.8 last year. Net cash inflow from operating activities, though, was 9.16 million. That was their interims. So you're going to be saying they're going to be making, maybe if you double that, maybe to 1.3, 2.6 million, maybe 3 million profit. Who knows? So I'd say it's because of where it is in the chart. Inspecs, where is Specs? It's down here, Specs. It's up 6.8, but it's had a hammering, absolute hammering. It's not a healthy balance sheet, but obviously they're generating cash to a certain extent, so they can whittle away at that, chip away at that. It's had a hammering. It is 44 million. It's not particularly cheap, but if they can get, you know, what, 5 million? What's that? Four, 8 times PE, maybe? Forget it. So it could have a recovery play. So I'm saying, you know, watch list, net debt. It does have that. Generating cash to pay down debt. Could be a recovery play, but not convinced the business model, to be honest. So maybe worth a watch with your glasses on, your specs on. Inspired, INSE, the UK's leading energy and sustainability advisor, announces that further to its full-year trading update on the 2nd of December, it expects to announce its full-year results on March. This is the 31st of December, end of year. 106 million market cap, but I've got to say, the enterprise value is quite a bit higher because they've got a bit of debt. Revenue, 94 million versus 98.8, so down. Adjusted EBITDA, 23 million versus 25.2, down. And they say, group adjusted profit for tax, in line with market expectations. Give us some figures. Don't just say that. They say, following the completion of a £26.7 million fundraising in January, the company is on track to achieve consolidated net EBITDA ratios towards 1.1 by the end of 2025 or earlier. So even after that fundraise, so they're looking at, I said, 94 million top line for 24, profit for tax of 12.3 versus 15.8. So, and that's going to go up. So they reckon in 2025, could go up to 125 million top line and doing 20 million of adjusted profit for tax. So the reason why I'm saying ignore here is that it's rallied a lot. Still has 60 million of debt. So, it in fact, going into, they're reckoning to halve that by 2025. Maybe worth a look if it drops back, but at the moment, it's just, it's, you know, like I say, it's rallied a lot. Where's it gone? It hit a low in December of 34 pence, now 67 pence, and it shot right up, almost V-shaped recovery. So, well, maybe it's close, it's not, I like a, you know, a night tick recovery, not that kind of V-shape. So I think it's had a good run recently, to be honest. So I'm not convinced on that one. Okay, the IUKD ETF is at an all-time high. Here. It was not high. So that's good news. Okay, next. Cromec Group, KMK. I never thought this company was ever going to make a profit. A leading developer of radiation and biodetection technology to advanced imaging and CBRN detection segments. Whatever that is. Interim results, okay? So two bits of this. So revenue was 3.7 million. And the market cap, hang on, Cromec, is 34 million, but a bit behind that at the moment. Let me just put this in. I send these notes out with the broker targets on all that forecast for my members of my club. Anyway, 34 million, 3.7 million in revenue. Last year, 7.1. Loss before tax, 5.7. Last year, 3.5. Cash was 600K versus half a million. Post-period, they also announced today, this is a bit of news, Cromec signed agreements with Siemens Medical Solutions in the USA to enable the production of cadmium zinc telluride detectors for single photon emissions computed tomography. The impact on Cromec of agreements with Siemens Healthineers is that they expect to become profitable from the current financial year, with the profit for the financial year 25 significantly ahead of market expectations. So it's rallied strongly today on this, but I'd be careful. Because even though they say they reckon now 2025, they'll see revenue of 24.1 million up from 19.4 and going from a loss before tax of 3.2 to a profit of 4.9, this dips majorly in 26. The revenue goes up 27.1, but profit for tax drops to 2.1 from 4.9. And then in 27, they forecast to 1 million profit for tax from 30 million revenue. So I'm saying I've never really liked this company. They've never made a profit. They've always got to raise money. And I think you get a pop and drop now and again with contracts like this. But is it a sustainable riser? That's what I'm after, a business that's improving, that generating cash, you know, increasingly over the years. This is not one of those companies. So ignore for now. It's risen hard, way beyond what it's worth, and profit for tax is going to be dropping. So it is up 28% a day. Ridiculous, really. And so that means, what, extra third? So it's about 45 million, 50 million market cap. So expensive, overrated. Mulberry. Mull is ticker. The British luxury brand is pleased to announce the details of a new strategy back to the Mulberry spirit. Oh, that'll do it. A plan to restore Mulberry to profitability through simplification, brand realignment, and enhanced customer connection. So they've got a market cap of 68 million. It's a trading update. There's no figures in this. No figures. And you think, when you do that, when you don't actually give us any figures, you're hiding something. Just give us the figures, you know? And so we'll avoid that anyway. And so I had to dig back into the interim to see where they were. So just give us some numbers, yeah? You know, we are... Are you hoping that some idiot will just invest on that back to the Mulberry Spirit mission statement rather than look at any figures? So they say, trading over this important festive period was satisfactory, in line with the board's expectations. Low expectations. Group revenue for the period declined by 18.3% as a result of continuing challenging macroeconomic environment. Retail sales declined by 16.5%, with trade in the UK down 20.3%, also impacted by lack of exposure to outlet and wholesale channels. International retail sales declined by 8.7%, with trade in Asia-Pacific down, listen to this, trade in Asia-Pacific down 27.9%, offset by growth of 11.1% in the rest of the world due to positive momentum in Europe and the United States. So look back at the interim results, right? Revenue, 56.1 million. That's 56.1 million versus 69.7, down 19%. Loss before tax increased to 15.7 million versus 12.8. Their cash of 8.7 million, but they have debt of 33 million. So net debt 24. Ignore big debt, loss making. It's going to be a heck of a turnaround plan. And you need more than just a sentence saying, back to the Mulberry Spirit. Next, Novasight. Where are Mulberry today? Down 2.5%, pretty much at an all-time low. God, going back to 2018, they were 11 quid a share. They're now 95 pence a share. It's bounced along the bottom here. So ignore until the figures start getting less worse, and they're not there. Novasight, international molecular diagnostics company with a broad portfolio of integrated technologies and services, announces unaudited full-year trading results update for 31st December. Now, remember, this was the poster child of COVID testing. This was one of those companies that led a load of other companies to rally on hope, high potential, because this company actually cashed in on it, did very well, and it was one of the best-performing stocks. It was the best-performing stock of the year, up to like 3,000%, something ridiculous during COVID. So there's always areas of the market that do well, even in downturns and bad times. But since then, of course, COVID tests have fallen off a cliff. So they've had to sort of acquire another company and sort of try and find another way. Market cap, 36 million. And audited group statutory revenue for 24 expected to be 19.6, which is up from 10.6, representing year-on-year growth of 85%, driven by the acquisition of Your Gene Health. So Your Gene revenues of 15.3 versus 16.4, excluding COVID sales on a pro forma. So that's even dropped. So even bolstered by that, Your Gene top line has dropped. Cash position, luckily they do have a decent cash position. Has the, I know they had litigation with HMRC. I don't know if it's still there. Anyway, they have a cash position of 30.5 million. So their market cap is 36 million. Now, this has dropped. So in June, it was 32.9, but the cash bin is slowing down and they remain debt-free. So at the interims, they had revenue of 10.3 million versus 3.33. So that's increased. Loss before tax was 17.9 million versus 8.3 the previous year. So cash has gone from 44 million interims down to 32.9. So the cash bin has dropped now because they've only they've used 2.4 million in H2. Maybe a recovery play here. Plenty of cash, but can they get to profitability? Just for the fun of it, because it's been a future massive winner and there may be some latent hype hanging around that stock. Maybe worth a look. And it did rally massively recently from 47 pence to 130 in but two sessions. But it's come back down now to 52 pence. So who knows? Next, Petards. First of all, change your name. Doesn't sound flattering, Petards. You Petard. PEG is ticker, the AIM-quoted developer of advanced security, communication and surveillance systems, provides a trading update for the financial year ended the 31st of December 2024. Now, you know, sometimes I talk about the good, the bad, the ugly. The ugly today is without doubt. Where is it? Futura Medical. This is not far off being the second ugly sister. Marticap. What are these things? Marticap is, it's dropped today. So I'm saying about 3.5 million market cap, okay? Group revenues, circa 12.1 million. Oh, you're thinking, oh, that's okay. Versus 9.4, that's all right. With H2 contributing 7.7 million. So, you know, the bulk of that was in H2. Adjusted EBITDA of circa 4 million. So that means they're making a loss. Not 4 million, 400K, sorry. Versus 300K last year. So, oh, some top line's improved. EBITDA's improved. Total net debt as of the 31st of December was 1.5 million versus 700K. So the debt has doubled. And they're still loss-making. And they're a tiny market cap. So they're going to do a loss before tax of about 900K for 2024. And they expect to do a loss before tax in 25 of 600K. Well, they ain't got the cash. They ain't got the headroom. So they may, you know, at some point experience a relief rally, but it's too risky. So I'd say ignore this tiny market cap loss-making along with net debt. Potential fatal combo, that, for a small cap. Physionics, I'm not going to bother that. It may pop down again, but it's a nano cap. The contracts they have are too small. Should not be really listed, I think. It's been around for ages, and it doesn't really get anywhere. Like I said, it does rally now again. Some people pump it. Goes up, pop and drop. Classic pop and drop stock. Next, Roslyn Data. Producer, provider of cloud-based enterprise spend intelligence platform. Interim results. Revenue increased to 1.5 million from 1.4. Wow. A loss before tax of 1.36 versus 2 million. Mm. Cash of 2.95 versus 2.15. They raised some money following the company raising gross proceeds of 3.3 million through issue of new shares and convertible loan notes, pretty much. Again, it could pop, but will probably drop. Ignore it. Probably need to raise cash. And too small to scale. They've been going around for ages and they're not getting anywhere. There's bigger players in that area outdoing them. Next, Science and Sport, SIS, the premium performance nutrition company serving elite athletes, sports enthusiasts, and the active lifestyle community, is pleased to announce an audited trading update in respect to financial year ended 31st December. Market cap, 57 million. In fact, Roslyn is up 7%. PYC is up 1.3%. PEG, by the way, Petards, is down 16%. So a big drop there. Back to Science and Sport. Revenue, 51.9 million versus 62.8, down 17.5%. Adjusted EBITDA, 4.2 million versus 2 million. So up 105%, they say. Net debt, 5.9 million versus 12.9. So they're paying down debt and they're EBITDA positive. Let's look at the real profitability here. So 24, they're expected to do, like I said, 52 million with a loss before tax of 2.3. It is down from 5.8 loss before tax the year before. But even in 25, they can be turning over 58 million and still can be making a loss of close to £1 million. And then in 2026, 65 million turnover and making a profit of 300K. I just think your overheads, and they cost too much, don't they? If you turn over 65 million, surely you should be making a profit. So, you know, I don't know how much they spend on R&D and all that stuff, but it's nuts. They seem to be improving, though, you know, regarding costs there, you know, debt. But there's very little growth. There's not a huge amount of growth top line. Maybe, well, it's 10%. Is there for 26. And to be honest, sorry, I yawned there. It's nothing to do with Science and Sport. Just when I talk too much, I yawn. I'm boring myself. So, no growth top line, really. You know, all companies should be growth companies. It's doubled since 2024, the start of 20, when it got really in bad trouble. And it's on a one-time sales and loss-making with debt. So it's not particularly compelling from, you know, a value perspective. So I'd just say ignore. Is it up today? Probably. There seems to be a bit of hype around that stock as well. see the attraction there, really. Really low margins. No, not much growth. It's up 8% a day. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Sometimes, you know, there's no accounting for what the market will do. But hopefully there's a higher probability of you investing in a company whose share price will go up if they've got growth and they've decent value and they've got a forecast of growth and the value's okay going forward. There's a higher probability of you, you know, actually capturing a winner like that. Tissue Regenix, bless you. The regenerative medical devices company provides a trading update for the year ended 31st December. Market cap 42 million. Revenue increased by 8% to 28.4 million, up from 26.3. Company expects to once again to report adjusted EBITDA profit. It's not profit. Above expectations, this will mark the second full year of profitability for Tissue Regenix for the fourth year above the market growth. You can't say EBITDA profit because it's not profit. Just attaching the word profit to EBITDA doesn't make it profitable. Profit is actually when you make money above all your costs. All your costs. Not just certain selective costs. All of them. When you're actually generating cash. Anyway, cash position as of the 31st December is 1.9 million, down from 4.3. Oh, so your EBITDA profitable, but somehow your cash has gone down. Supporting the current growth plan, they say. The company's growth is further supported by a £10 million revolving line of credit, of which £4 million is undrawn. So forecast here, sales for 24, even for 25, they've gone from 34 million to 39 million and underlying profit for tax of 1.34 million, up from 380K. So it's 42 million. It's not cheap, is it, that? May pop again, but can't see why it's valued at 42 million, to be honest, when its profit is just 380K for the next year. Ignore. Last one, it's been a long one, sorry. Vionet, the international provider of actionable data insights. Sorry, did Tissue Regenix rally today? It's down 1.69%. Okay. Vionet, this is really wordy. The international provider of actionable data, business insights, and payment solutions through an integrated ecosystem of connected hardware devices, software platforms, and smart insights portals provides the following trading update on the 9 months to 31st December. They say it's become increasingly evident that general economic uncertainty and shifts in the economic landscape have impacted several contracts during the conversion phase. So they supply these hardware and software to leisure hospitality businesses. They also have some vending machine stuff and all that. So essentially, you know, transactional data. But they are exposed to leisure hospitality sectors. So they say this has resulted in different mix of orders and products and some delays in contract completions and pipeline conversion. Recent decisions in the UK budget have further exacerbated these challenges, forcing our clients in hospitality and unattended retail, these aren't vending machines, to take time to understand the cost impacts and reassess their CapEx and OpEx budgets. This shift has contributed to delays in contract finalizations in the last quarter of the fiscal year. Now, think about what this company is saying. They're very exposed to leisure retail sectors, hospitality sectors. So it's a read across, essentially, to that sector. Okay? There's more caution, there's more worry. Now, a company, you know, supplying this sector must have something very special, almost, you know, indispensable, not to see a downturn. Anyway, revenue for financial year 25 is going to be, oh, so they end in March, their year end, is going to be 15.7 million, up from 15.2. EBITDA, approximately 3.6 million, up from 3.5. Net debt, 400K versus 1.5. So they are all improving there, slightly, the metrics. I'm looking at the broker targets, I think, this has fallen, dropped today by 11%. There's something not right here. Because even for like 26, they're seeing revenue go up. Now, the profit before tax adjusted for 2025 of 15.7 million is 1.1 million, up from 1 million. And they're even saying it's going to grow to 1.4 million in 26. So I'm saying ignore for now because I can't see their end markets improving for a while. And it's not as if they're cheap. You know, you're talking about a PE here, pretty much, for 25, at 36 times. Remember, when a company is more highly valued, then the return tends to be less, especially if they aren't powering ahead on top line and profitability growth. And this company isn't. So I'd say avoid. And it is down, it's dipped to down. And it's had a good run recently from November 24, 62 pence. It went up to 140 by July, start of 24, it was 70 pence. It went up to 140 by July, 6 months, and now it's back down to 90 pence. So I'd say ignore for now. That's it. Thank you very much. Don't forget, 1 day left to claim your 50% off the SharePickers Investment Club. Just go to sharepickers.com and click on the book. You only have to buy the book by midnight tomorrow. You can submit the review whenever you want. Thank you very much. Speak to you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.